رحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بفضل بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الغر الميامين الذين ذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: إنما يريد الله ليذهب عنكم الرجس أهل البيت ويطهركم تطهيرا. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. Wherever you may be, my dear brothers and sisters, elders, for the purification of our hearts and for the hastening of the reappearance of our beloved 12th Imam, with the loudest of our voices, صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. First of all, we thank Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for gracing us with this wonderful moment and opportunity to celebrate the birth anniversary of our beloved second Imam, our role model, our guide to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the personality we look up to, Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. I take this opportunity to congratulate the Imam of our time on this special, auspicious occasion. And secondly, congratulations to our great scholars, our Maraja, our Islamic seminaries, those personalities who try their level best every day and night to give service not to only our beloved school of thought, but to Islam in general and to humanity in particular. And thirdly, my congratulations goes to each and every one of you, mu'mineen and mu'minat, lovers and followers of Ahlul Bayt on this auspicious occasion. We pray to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to continue to instill the true love of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad in our hearts. The verse I've just quoted, no doubt, is a known verse to all of us, mu'mineen and mu'minat. It is Quran 33, verse 33. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in this beautiful verse highlights on the profound estate or the fada'il of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wassalam, that he purified them with a thorough purification. Now, departing from this beautiful verse, our topic of tonight on this occasion of the arrival of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba to this world is to look at the personality of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam. And our examination is to focus on three qualities that manifested in the personality of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam. And the aim, as you know, mu'mineen and mu'minat, behind every celebration or every commemoration is for I and you who are the lovers and followers of Ahlul Bayt to be able to take at least a lesson or two from the life of that personality we are celebrating and seek to allow those lessons to manifest in our lives. In other words, it is important we continue to follow and emulate the footsteps of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wa askas salam. At the end of the day, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, in that known tradition, left for us two editions, the Book of Allah and Etra. They go hand in hand. You cannot separate from each other until at the fountain of Kawthar. Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, my dear brothers and sisters, as we all know, is one of those great personalities who are purified with a thorough purification by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the titles of this great Imam is Karimu Ahlul Bayt. I'm sure mu'mineen and mu'minat heard this title before. The generous of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Without a shred of doubt, All our beloved imams are generous. And not just generous, they are epitomes of generosity and kindness. However, this title is special and unique to Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam. Question: what is the reason behind this title? Is it because our beloved Imam used to give a lot of money to those who deserved it unconditionally? Or is it because our beloved Imam was giving money to those who did not deserve it unconditionally? Now, giving money to those who deserve it unconditionally, no doubt, is a form of generosity. But that is not the reason as to why our beloved Imam earned the title Karim Ahl al-Bayt. Why am I saying so? It's simply because Quran 51 verse 19 makes it crystal clear when it comes to generosity or reaching out to those who are in need. Allah is highlighting that when you reach out to those who are in need, you are in essence giving them back their rights. وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. In their wealth, meaning the wealth of the rich, there is the right of those who ask them and the right of those who do not ask them. So when I reach out to someone, yes, it's a form of generosity, it's a form of kindness, I will be rewarded for it. But that is not the reason why Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam is referred to as Karim Ahl al-Bayt. And obviously, Imam wouldn't reach out to those who did not deserve the wealth unconditionally. That is israf, and Imam wouldn't do that. If that is the case, then what is the reason as to why our beloved second Imam is referred to as the generous of the Ahl al-Bayt? In an attempt to explain the reason behind this title, I would like to humbly invite mu'mineen and mu'minat to pay attention to two things. Number one, our need for social status. When I say our need, I'm referring to all of us, human beings, creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all have this natural need for social status. And psychologists beautifully explain that our need for social status manifests in three natural needs. The first one is our need for inner peace and tranquility. We all require inner peace and tranquility. It is said you can only be peace with people when you are at peace with yourself. And having sense of inner peace and tranquility, or sukoon, as we normally say, will make it possible and easier for us to demonstrate or share our God-given talent and potentials within a given community. If there is no sense of peace and tranquility, one will not be motivated, one will not be inspired, one will not be encouraged. And the second natural need is our need to belong to. You know, naturally, we all have to belong to a community, to a family, to a friend cycle, to a forum. It's a natural need to have a sense of a belonging, because sense of belonging will make a person have this feeling of secured and being honored. And then the third natural need is what? It's our need for social recognition. One way or the other, we all require social recognition to be appreciated, to be recognized, to be cherished, most especially when we undertake some good deeds and some good actions. Because not being appreciated and not being recognized may lead to demoralization or demotivation, and may lead to this feeling of not wanted or feeling of being rejected. So therefore, it is important for us to understand that we all have needs for social status. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala cherish us, and He honors us, and He respect us. In Quran 17, verse 17, Quran says, وَلَكَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. Indeed, we honored the children of Adam, social status. Allah respect us, Allah honors us. At the end of the day, we are social being. We are created to love and to be loved. We are created to reach out to and to be reached out to. So that is number one. Remember, we're trying to explain the reason behind the title, Karimu Ahlul Bayt. Number two is in a form of rhetorical question. Is it possible at all for one to sacrifice his or her social status or not? In other words, is it possible for one to make himself a laughing stock and to allow himself to be disrespected, to be ridiculed, to be undermined, to be pushed away? Primarily, it is not allowed within the religion of Islam. One is not allowed to sacrifice his social status for his personal interest or personal gain. Interestingly, our great scholars, the jurists, they discuss in jurisprudence the difference between rights and law, between haq and hukm. You know, haq has to do with personal interest or personal gain or well-being. But hukm law has to do with the welfare of the society or the well-being of the community or the nation. Example, someone you owe money, or he owes you money. He has a right to forfeit it and said to you, do not pay. Or you've got the right to look at the person who owes you and say to the person, this is my right, do not worry, I forfeit it. So right can be forfeited, can be relaxed, and there's nothing wrong. But hukum cannot be relaxed, cannot be forfeited. Now, what is hukum? Hukum, my dear brothers and sisters, is like backbiting. There is a law about backbiting in Islam. You backbite, this is the hukum, this is the law. Gossip, undermining, disrespecting, it is hukum. It cannot be forfeited. In other words, you cannot look at a person and say to him, talk ill of me, and say to him, undermine me, and say to him, ridicule me, and say to him, antagonize me. That is not allowed within the religion of Islam. And our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam makes it crystal clear in one beautiful tradition where he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَوَّدَ لِعَبْدِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ وَلَمْ يُفَوِّدْ لَهُ إِذْلَالَ نَفْسِهِ أَوْ أَنْ يُذِلَّ نَفْسَهُ. In one version, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given his mu'min servant choice in everything, but he has not given him choice in one thing, which is to undermine himself, which is to make himself miserable. That is not allowed within the religion of Islam. The next question, in trying to understand the reason behind the title Karimu Ahlul Bayt, is that, is there any instance where one is allowed by Islam to sacrifice his social status or not? So there is one exception. That is, when sacrificing one's social status has to do with the welfare of the community. In other words, we are allowed to sacrifice our social status for the general well-being of the society, for the general well-being of the nation, for the general well-being of the ummah. And Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salat wa salam showed us the way. First example is from the life of Imam Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Imam, as you know very well, his rights were taken from him. But Imam said in one instance, La usalimanna ma salimat umurul muslimin. I will be at peace and in peace so long as the affairs of the Muslim ummah is in peace and at peace. Yani here, Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam is highlighting that, yes, one is allowed to sacrifice his social status so long as it is for the benefit of the Muslim Ummah. It is for the benefit of the society and not just for your own personal interest and your own personal gain or benefit. From here, my dear brothers and my dear sisters, you will appreciate and recognize and acknowledge the profound estates or the fada'il or virtues of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salatu wassalam. You know, Imam, our second Imam, sacrificed his social status for the benefits of the nation of his grandfather. He sacrificed his social status for the reason of reforming the nation of his grandfather, for the general well-being and welfare of the society or the community. He did that when he entered into the peace treaty with Muawiyah. Imam alayhi salam knew very well entering into that treaty would make some internally and externally to ridicule him, to disrespect him, to undermine him, to abuse his personality. But Imam did that for the sake of all of us, for the sake of the affairs of the Ummah. And if it wasn't because of that, Aba Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam was not going to find it easy. And of course, the other Imams who came after Aba Abdullah were not going to find it easy. It was because of that that I and you today are proud to associate ourselves with the school of thought of Ahl al-Bayt salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. Our second Imam and the title of Kareem wa Ahl al-Bayt because he sacrificed his social status for the benefit of the Ummah. And what Imam did, Mu'mineen and Mu'minat, is not less than what Aba Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam did on the 10th day of Muharram. Look at the teachings of these great Imams. Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam said, I am out, not for any reason, but to do what? To seek to reform the nation of my grandfather, isn't it? Imam al-Hassan alayhi abdul salatu wasalam also said, what I and Muawiyah disagree about is my right, but I enter into the treaty to reform the nation of my grandfather. Li-islahi amri al-ummah. That's the exact word. To reform the affairs of the Ummah. And so therefore, Imam al-Hassan alayhi afdal salat wa aska salam sacrificed his social status for my sake, for your sake, for the deen of Allah, for the affairs of the Ummah. I tell you, mu'minin and mu'minat, it is not easy to sacrifice one's social status. But Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam did that in style. And he showed us the way. Something for all of us to reflect upon and ponder. As you know very well, this celebration is to equip us with teachings from the lives of Ahl al-Bayt to reflect upon. The second stage of my examination is to look at the quality of Imam's connection with Allah. Imam al-Hassan alayhi salatu wassalam had a special connection with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that manifested in his personality. Scholars, when they discuss this, they said his level of khashiyah is high. You know, you've got something called khashiyatullah, and you've got something called Khawfullah. Normally, when you read translations, you'll see that when it says Khashyatullah, they'll say fear of Allah. When you say Khawfullah, translator will say fear of Allah. But from the Quranic perspective, there is a difference between Khashyatullah and Khawfullah. And here, we are discussing Khashyatullah. But for our understanding, let us look at the difference between the two. You see, when you go to Quran, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, wherever he talks of a khawf, he relates and associates it which is pious servant. For example, إِنِّي أَخَافُ إِنْ أَصَيْتُ رَبِّي عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. Quran 39 verse 19. That I am fearful of the punishment of the day of Qiyamah in sinning against Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So khawfu ilahi is one of the descriptions of the pious servant of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now let's come to khashya, which is what we are discussing here in relation to the personality of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam. Khashya, if you look at Quran will always discuss khashya in relation to scholars, in relation to ulama. Allah says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Quran 35 verse 28. That those who fear Allah amongst his servants are the scholars, the true scholars, ulama rabbaniyin. Who better scholar than Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. Now question, what is the definition of a khawf ilahi and what is the definition of khashya? Before we look at the examples of khashya in the life of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. Khawf, my dear brothers and sisters, is internal reaction as a result of acknowledging the repercussion or the danger of sinning against Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is khawf. I've understood the consequence of sinning against Allah, so I do not even make an attempt to sin against Allah. That is khawf. Khashya is idraku azamatillah. Khashya is to recognize and acknowledge and appreciate the greatness of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam alayhi salam acknowledged and appreciated Allah's greatness, and he was forever overwhelmed by the light of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Look at examples. When he would make wudu, his complexion would change and he would begin to shiver. When he will get Allahu Akbar to the door of the mosque, he would stand at the door and called out, Ilahi miskinuka bibabik. Oh my beloved Lord, your miserable servant is at your doorstep. Asiruka bifinaik. Allahu Akbar. Oh my beloved Lord, your captive or your captured servant as annihilated in you. Antal muksin wa anal musi. You are the good and I am the evil. Let the good deserve or dissolve the evilness of the bad. Yani, this is a practical demonstration of a khashiyatullah from the life of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam. Imam was practically overwhelmed by the presence of Allah during wudu and during salah and when entering the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam described Imam Hassan in the following ways. He said, "Kana a'bada an-nasi fi zamani." If you are looking for the most obedient servant of Allah during the lifetime of Imam al-Hassan, then he is the one. Then Imam Zainabin said, when you are looking at high level of asceticism, then you have to knock the door of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam. Then Imam said, إِذَا ذَكَرَ الْمَوْتَ بَقَى وَإِذَا ذَكَرَ الْكَبْرَ بَقَى وَإِذَا ذَكَرَ الْمَمَرَّ عَلَى الصِّرَاطِ بَقَى. That Imam al-Hassan, whenever he would remember death, tears would overflow from his eyes. When he would remember grave, kabir, he would begin to cry. When he would remember passing on Pule Sirat, tears would overflow from his eyes. That is being overwhelmed by the presence of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us take lessons from these great personalities, most especially, we are all in the holy month of Ramadan. You know what Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam said about Imam al-Hassan? He said, when Imam alayhi salam was about to depart from this world, Imam couldn't hold his tears. He was crying profusely. And so people asked him, oh Imam, you undertook Hajj 25 times by your feet. You walked to Hajj 25 times. And not only that, oh Imam, you shared your wealth 3 times amongst those who are in need. And Imam, you are the grandson of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. What was his response? Imam looked at them and said to them, I am crying because of 2 things. Hawlul muttali' wa firaqul ahibba. I am crying and these tears are because of the day of Qiyamah and separation from the loved ones. That is the servitude or the level of his servitude towards the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As narration mentioned, every Thursday night, our beloved Imam would recite Surah Al-Kahf. And while reciting the chapter, tears would be overflowing from his eyes. Salamullahi alayk, ya Imam Hasan al-Mushtaba. We pray to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to inspire us with the true teachings of Imam Hasan al-Mushtaba alayhi afdal salati wa aska salam. The last stage of the examination is one great quality that manifested in the personality of our beloved Sakhan Imam. And that is self-transcendence. In other words, having a big heart. You know, our beloved second Imam had an unbelievable big heart. What does it mean to say someone has a big heart? It simply means, mu'minin and mu'minat, your love for the community and your love to serve the nation never get distracted, irrespective of the way you are treated. You know, Imam Al-Hassan's love to reform the nation of his grandfather just was unbelievable. How he was treated did not change his love in wanting to reform the nation of his grandfather. That is the meaning of self-transcendence or having a big heart. And psychologists discuss this in their teachings. As you know, we've got different psychological schools. We've got analytical school. You've got behavioral school. You've got human psychology. You've got elevational psychology. So this is discussed in psychology of elevation, whereby they say one has to be able to develop himself for himself, by himself, not through any external factors. So Imam Al-Hassan alayhi salam developed himself through his virtues, through his fada'il. And that is why the way he was treated did not dictate his love for the nation of his grandfather. Look at an example from his life. You know, a man came from Sham to the holy city of Medina. And he met Imam Al-Hassan alayhi salatu wassalam. When he met Imam, he began to abuse the personality of Imam and that of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Imam looked at him and he said to him, Azunnuka gariba. I think you are a stranger in this holy city of Medina. Or you've mistaken him, or you've mistaken me with someone else. Then Imam asked him, are you in need of food? Let us know, and we'll be willing to offer you. Are you in need of a place to stay? Let us know, and we will be more than willing to offer you. Are you in need of anything? Please let us know. We are more than willing to offer you. This man, upon hearing these responses from Imam Hasan al-Mushtaba, he went down, began to kiss the feet of Imam al-Hasan. That is what is referred to as having a big heart. You may be hurt. You may be offended. You may be antagonized. You may be disrespected, but that should not discourage you when it comes to giving back to your community. Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam looked at the bigger picture. And so the way he was treated by enemies did not discourage him from serving the ummah, did not discourage him from guiding the ummah, did not discourage him from reaching out to the ummah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And no doubt, a lesson for all of us to learn, my dear brothers and my dear sisters, most especially those of us who serve in the community. We have to try as much as we can to do it sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not for people's likes. Not for people to tick that mashallah, 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 mashallah. No. Because if that is the only aim, then when you are offended or when you are hurt, it will discourage you from serving the ummah. It will discourage you from looking at the bigger picture. So it is important we reflect upon this and try as much as we can to follow and emulate the footsteps of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wassalatu wassalam. Same thing happened during the lifetime of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. And Imam al-Baqir demonstrated that he had a big heart. A man approached Imam al-Baqir and he began to call Imam Baqara. Na'udhu billah. Baqir is his name. But he called him Baqara. Baqara means star. Imam looked at him and he said to him, my father named me Baqir. Simple as that. The man, upon hearing that, continued to abuse the personality of the mother of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. Imam al-Baqir looked at the man and he said to him, if you are right in what you are saying about my mom, may Allah forgive my mom. And if you are wrong in what you are saying about my mom, may Allah forgive you. That is what is having a big heart is all about. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a big heart when it comes to service to humanity and service to our community. In conclusion, I take this opportunity once again to wish my dear brothers and sisters and elders Khushali Mubarak. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our shortcomings and accept our humble efforts in these holy months of Ramadan. Mu'mineen and mu'minat, who are no more in this world, most especially those who were with us last year, and they are no more here with us. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgive them and elevate their status in the life of Barzakh. We pray that mu'mineen and mu'minat who are not well, whatever the sickness might be it corona or any other sickness, Ya Allah, make it easy for them. Ya Allah, cure them with your cure. And we pray that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala intervene on behalf of all of us and on behalf of the people of the world in regard to this pandemic called coronavirus. We pray that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala expedite the reappearance of our beloved Imam. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ala muhammadin wa alihi tayyibin at-tahirin. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.